The cow eats a bunch of grass and chews on it and swallows it. And then he talks to his friends and nothing else to do, so he sits in the corner and burps it back up. He chew on that a little while more, get more flavor out of it. All the bile is now mixed into it. Gets it really digestible, and then he finally swallows it, and it's digested, becomes a part of the cow, and it produces the milk that you drink. I had you, see, you're just going.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Well, we hope you have not decided to become lactose intolerant. Today's message is all about making decisions, not deciding whether or not to drink milk, decisions that will have eternal implications. Here's Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled Decisions, Destiny.
Each of us will make nearly 300 choices a day, 300 decisions, from what you will put on, the clothes that you'll wear, the shoes that you'll use, the food that you'll eat, where you're gonna eat, all of these things, some minor, but 10% of the choices that you make every day will absolutely affect your destiny. You're approaching an intersection and the light turns red and you make a decision to try and scoot through it at the same time a car is coming the other way. One split decision will affect the rest of your life. You have a choice of an overnight kind of a pleasurable moment from a party. And you say, well, my wife will never find out. In one split second, a choice will affect your destiny. Test in college, you're not ready, and a friend offers you a cheat sheet, and you make a choice to take it, not knowing that the professors know that there's a lot of cheating going on. They've been all alerted to it. Drug run. If you just do this one run, hey, easy pass, big bucks, one choice will affect your destiny. Now, some decisions, you have no idea what the outcome is, like those that made a choice to go on the Titanic. They had no idea that baby was going down. Made a great movie, though, and they didn't know that. So they just made a decision, and it ended in tragedy. But you know, we're going to talk about the decisions that we make when we know what the outcome is. We know the risks are high. We know the stakes are high, but we try to beat the risks anyway. We try to somehow beat the grace of God, the knowledge of God, what we know God's word says, and we try to shuck and jive and go around it, and there are no shortcuts because you'll get snagged every time. The Bible says this, be sure of one thing, your sins will find you out. It will have an effect on you. And so the Lord says, here's the effects, here's the results. Now rewind the tape and make a wise decision. And yet we still make poor decisions. It's sort of like, you remember the game show, Let's Make a Deal? How many of you saw that? Yeah, that's a long time ago. You're old. Anyway, just checking. Well, this guy, what's his name? Monty Python or something? What's his name? Monty Hall, that's it. Monty Hall, yeah. See, it's way before my time, obviously not before yours. But they come dressed up like chickens and hogs and dogs, you know, and all these costumes, and they have three doors on the stage. And if people choose the right door, then they get this huge prize. But in back of one, it's like this booby trap, you know, it's this bad prize. And so they've got to make sure they choose the right one. And so he chooses one, you know, and they'll come running down with his little chicken head or something. Ah, they're so excited they got chosen because it might be a big prize. And behind door number one, door number two, number three, which one? Oh, I don't know, she said. Oh. But before, you know, you choose, let me show you what you'll get if you get the right door. And they show this big prize. Oh, which door? And the people are yelling, door number one, door number two, door number three. And oh, no, 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 no. And then she chooses door number three, you know, and they open it, it's a donkey. Yeehaw. And you know, and that's real bad. But you know what's even worse? What if she's getting ready to choose? I don't know, no, no, no. The guy says, Monty Hall. Monty Hall says, wait, wait, wait. Before you choose, let me show you what's behind door number one, door number two, and door number three. Wouldn't that be nice? Behind door number one, 10 Mercedes Benzes and a free trip to Acapulco. Ah! Door number two, a Volkswagen. Ah! Door number three, a donkey. Yeehaw. Oh, okay, now choose. Oh, I don't know. Choose. Come on. Door number three. I think that is bad, woman. But even as dumb as that would be, we do that all the time. God says, now look, I'll tell you what the consequences will be with this choice and this decision. And we still say, okay, thanks. I'll still go for it. The Lord says, no. No, you can't do this. Well, what are some of the sources? Well, this morning I want to nudge you towards making wise decisions. Because indeed, as I've been studying this series, I've been realizing that I put far too little thought into the choices I sometimes make. I just make them just inadvertent decisions, just off the cuff, and they affect me and my destiny. And I thought, now, wait a minute. The words that I say, the thoughts that I think, you see, tomorrow's destiny will be determined by today's decisions. And so the decisions and choices we make today will affect everything about you, your relationships, your eternity, your marriage, your family, the next generation. And so God puts high stakes on the choices that we make. Well, what will guide us? Well, let me say it this way. I was down by the Aloha Tower the other week, and I saw this tugboat helping this huge ship like the USS Constitution or whatever, getting him to dock, and he docked him very safely. Now, I noticed one thing about the tugboats. The tugboat didn't back up about 200 yards, rev its engine up, and ram the thing. Now, that would cause major damage. Instead, what the tugboat did was it slowly snugged itself up, nudged up right next to that big ship, and then began to whir its engine slowly to apply constant pressure in the right direction. And sure enough, that huge ship began to move and safely dock. Well, I want to be that tugboat for you, because I know that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. The Bible says the one who is called alongside to help. And he will often pull himself up right next to you and nudge you with constant pressure into the right direction. And you'll sense him. You'll know what God's saying. You know what the direction he's moving in. And you can either fight against him or cooperate with him. And so would you let him be that tugboat, as it were, that will gently snug right up to you and then begin to apply constant pressure to move you towards the right direction? It was Joshua as he was about to cross the Jordan River, and a flurry of choices were to be made. Manifold amount of decisions that had to be made. What are some of the concerns that he had that would help him navigate these? Let me talk to you this morning about four things to consider. So before we do, let's read the scripture that the Lord says to Joshua right at the beginning of this whole new adventure that Joshua is moving into. And right at the beginning, the Lord says, here are four considerations, Joshua, when you make decisions. Here they are. Let's read it. Ready? Go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. In this one scripture, the Lord lays out the map for Joshua to make his way through this jungle of choices, just like you and I will be faced with every day. But we're going to find here that the map that God wants Joshua to have has to be indelibly written into the very fabric of who he is. You see, becoming religious is knowing the map in your mind. Becoming a man or a woman of God requires the map to be indelibly etched into who you are. That's why God is much more concerned about what you're becoming, less with what you're doing. Because when push comes to shove and some of the most eternal decisions must be made, that will go back to your default system, and who you are will make those decisions. That's why the Bible says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh. And the adulteries, fornications, come from within. What is he saying? He's saying if you build good treasures, then you're going to speak good things. For out of the good treasure of a man's heart comes forth what is good. Out of the evil treasure of a man's heart comes forth what is evil. So God is saying the map has to be written on the tablets of your heart. Religion is just knowing it. relationship with Jesus is being the person that God wants you to be. Because God doesn't want just my actions, He wants my heart. And so let's take a look at four considerations as we make these decisions that'll affect our eternity. Now you notice the very first consideration. Four things to consider. The first in making decisions is the source. Would you write that in there? You've heard people say when they hear something, well, where'd that come from? Well, you know, it comes from Joe or Bill or whatever. You know, you just got to consider the source. If the source is bad, then the words or the suggestion or the advice may also be bad. But if the source is good, then everything else is good. It's sort of like this. When you pick up Evian water, because it comes from the Evian Springs of France, then you know because the source is good, the water should be good. But it doesn't matter how much they filter it. If it says Alawai Canal, I ain't buying it. You see, because the source. And the Bible is saying the decisions I make, what's the source of that decision? He says it this way to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What's the source? The source is what God is saying, not what the world is saying, not what others are saying. What God is saying is the most important, because you're going to have all kinds of sources to try and encourage you to make decisions. Television is rampant in our society, telling us different mores, different character qualities for us to develop. And so pretty much, if we watch the world, you'll become like the world. If you listen to the world, you become like the world. But if you listen to the Lord, you become more like the Lord. That's why right before all the decisions were made, he says, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Let's read the next one out of 2 Timothy, out of the Living Bible. Ready? Go. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped. Tremendous. God is saying the best wisdom comes from what God is saying to you, not what the world is saying. Some time ago, I was in Hilo, and Alex Pacheco is a pastor there. His father had a horse, and so Amy wanted to see the horse, and so we went over to Manny's house, Manuel's house. His name is Manny, and his house was out in this pasture, about a 5-acre pasture, and the horse was way on the other side. So we went out there, and we started whistling for the horse. Yeah, yoo-hoo, come on, horse, come. Oats, barley, hay, juice, you know, candy, whatever. And the horse wouldn't come. We whistled. The horse just looked at us and just stayed there. Well, interesting, Manny came outside because he heard the dilemma that we were having trying to get the horse. And he came out and called for the horse once. The horse takes off, starts running towards us. And we thought, wow! And this horse stopped. And we thought, good night, this is amazing. And the horse saw me and took off again, you know. But you know, I was amazed. Even though we called for the horse, our voice did not matter to that horse. He wouldn't listen. Even though we called all kinds of stuff, promised him all kinds of stuff, you know, barley, oats, chocolate, macadamia nuts, whatever, the horse wouldn't come. But Manny came out and called the horse once, and it came. Now, I was thinking, the reason is because that horse considered Manny's voice much more important than ours. And what caused the horse to come? What caused the horse to have action? Is what voice he considered most important. You're going to have many voices in your life. But if you don't know what voice is most important to you, you'll have major problems trying to make decisions. You won't know which way to go. You'll have problems, and you'll be afraid to even make decisions. Sort of like asked this one guy, you know, do you have trouble making decisions? He said, well, yes and no. Anyway, it's this guy, just checking to see if you're awake, you know. But if you don't know what voice is most important in your life, you're going to have major problems in making decisions. Because you're going to have some voices saying, hey, this way, you know, oats, barley, money, juice, pleasure. And you're going to have to decide what voice is most important. But when the Lord speaks, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. When the Lord speaks, if you know what voice is most important, your decisions will be much better. You must consider the source. Now, sometimes we don't want to change, even though we can know the source. A lot of the problem lies right here. Sort of like that one guy I heard who came to America and didn't know how to speak English. So he said to his interpreter, how do I order food? I don't know how to speak English. He said, just remember these three words, hamburger, French fries, Coke. This is America, you know. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. That's all you need to know. Oh, okay. So he tried it out, went to the restaurant. The lady asked him what he wanted. He said, hamburger, French fries, Coke. She came back, gave him hamburger, French fries, Coke. He thought, this is wonderful. Well, he went back again, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Well, this is great. He was able to eat at least in America. Well, after 6 months, though, hamburger, French fries, and Coke gets old. So he went back to his interpreter and said, you know, I want something else. Like for breakfast, I'm eating hamburger, French fries, and Coke. You know, isn't there anything better? He said, well, okay, I tell you what, ask for eggs, toast, juice. Eggs, toast, juice, he practiced. Got it. So he went to the restaurant, and the lady asked him, what do you want? He said, eggs, toast, juice. She said, okay, your eggs, you want it over easy, over medium, scrambled, or poached. Your juice, do you want orange, apple, grapefruit, or tomato? And your toast, do you want it white, wheat, rye, or sourdough? And he looked up at her and said, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Sometimes we always default back, don't we? That's why God is saying, my voice pattern, the word of God must be indelibly written on your heart. What voice is most important to you? Because you're going to have yourself yelling. Your flesh is going to be yelling. What your desires might be are going to be yelling. The world and what you heard on TV is going to be telling you. What voice is most important in your life? If you don't establish that now, you'll never make wise decisions. So Joshua, you're about to go into a flurry of decision makings. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Listen to the word of God. What is he saying? Make his voice the most important voice of all in your life. And you're on your way to being a wise decision maker. He continues, however, and he says, don't just hear what I'm saying, let it affect you. Because the second consideration is not just the source, but number two, the decision. Would you write that down? The decision. You see, between the circumstance and your response, there's a huge space where a decision has to be made. Somebody punches you, you want to punch them back, but between that stimulus, as they call it, and that response, or the circumstance and the action, there is a huge space called the decision. This is where you have to make a judgment. Did he do that because he made a mistake? Whatever. Why did he do that? Maybe he likes me. I don't know, you know. Or maybe he just thought I was someone else. Or maybe he really wanted to hit me. Okay, now, what is God saying? What voice is most important? All this is happening in nanoseconds. But you have to add a definition to what just took place. Because you see, say it's snowing. You go to the mainland and it's snowing. Over here, the farmer is angry because it's snowing, ruining his crops. Over here, somebody else snowing. He's happy. Why? Same situation, different definition. One is thinking about his crops. The other's thinking about a long skiing season. And he loves skiing. Same circumstance, different definitions, which will cause completely different responses. Same thing happens in your life. The bottom falls out financially. Now, how are you going to respond? You can let God speak to you and respond differently. Or you can let just your fears speak to you and your response will be completely different. The space in the middle is called a decision. How are you going to make that judgment? What are you going to mix into that recipe? Here's what God says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but here it is, but you shall meditate on it day and night. He's saying in our lives, it's time to start meditating or chewing on the Word of God, because that's what gets God's principles deep inside of you, so that you'll have the right map inside, so that you'll not be making decisions based on wrong definitions. Bang, that guy's an idiot. He deserves to die. And then your response is commensurate. Or bang, Lord, that really hurt. But Lord, what do you want me to do? If I hit him back, it's just going to escalate. Maybe the best and most courageous thing is just to walk away, huh? He might think I'm a coward, but I'm going to go to please you. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Action. All of that happens in minute microseconds. That's why it's so important to have all of this stuff built into us, because it's only going to be microseconds before the response. So God says, meditate on the Word of God, or which means let God's Word affect you as you're reading it. The word meditate comes from a word that means to chew your cud. Isn't that gross? It's like a cow chewing its cud again. He again ruminates on it and chews it again. It's sort of like this. Forgive me if it's a little graphic, but the cow eats a bunch of grass and chews on it and swallows it. And then he talks to his friends and nothing else to do, so he sits in the corner and burps it back up and chews on it like, you know, already been chewed gum, ABC gum, we call it. And he chew on that a little while more, get more flavor out of it. All the bile is now mixed into it. And then he swallows it. Now he does a few chores and he's got a few minutes left, so he figured, and he burps it up again. And he just mixes it with more stuff, you know, and just chews it. Gets it really digestible, and then he finally swallows it, and it's digested, becomes a part of the cow, and it produces the milk that you drink. I had you, see, you're just going. But that's what the word comes from. It comes from just chewing it again, to ruminate on it, to think about it. What is it saying? It's saying, I'm making an intentional choice that this stuff is going to become digested into my body to become a part of me. You see, if your food doesn't digest well, it goes into your stomach, and if it doesn't digest, it's going to get expelled somehow. But food that is digested becomes a part of your muscle, then it becomes who you are. So it's not just a food source, it becomes a part of you. And God is saying the same thing is true with the Word of God, that this, God's Bible, as you read it, think about it, ruminate on it. And when you walk away, think about it again. In fact, my greatest desire when you leave church on Sunday morning is not that we be thinking or talking about a sketch or a song, but to be thinking with your mind on what God has just said to you. You know what God just talked to me about? I've been putting too little thought into my decisions, and I've been having to live with the consequences of it. And I need to consider four things. One is the source from where I get my decision making. It's got to be what God says. Yeah, I got to think about that more. God, your voice has to be the most important voice in my life as I'm making decisions.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Decisions, Destiny by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come crown you, King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.